here's a story from The World.
A week that saw American democracy take a hit. The peaceful transition of power is one of the pillars of democracy. So this exchange 2 days ago between President Trump and reporter Brian Karam with Playboy magazine ruffled a lot of feathers.
Will you commit to making sure that there is a peaceful transfer of power after the election?
Well, we're going to have to see what happens. You know that I've been complaining very strongly.
Not committing to a peaceful transfer of power. The president's refusal to defend that concept brought swift rebukes, a chorus of voices saying this does not happen in America. Retired U.S. Army General Mark Hertling is with me. General Hertling, you served 37 years in the U.S. Army. You commanded troops in Iraq with the intent of bringing democracy there. So you've witnessed peaceful as well as non-peaceful transfers of power. What was your reaction when you heard Trump's remarks?
There was quite a bit of agony in it, Marco. Truthfully, when you've sworn your life to defend the Constitution and the kinds of ideas that are embedded in that wonderful document, really the essence of our representative democracy is voting for the people we want to represent us. To have President Trump say that was really discouraging and somewhat vile.
Well, we wanted specifically to speak with you because you have witnessed moments in history where a peaceful transfer of power is not guaranteed. For example, in Iraq, you were there, General, during the 2005 elections. How did you work with leaders there to promote a peaceful transition, and what were the results of your work?
Yeah, I was there in 2003 and 2004, and we were beginning the preparation for the elections. And it was fascinating to me because I was back in Germany during the actual first elections themselves in 2005. And truthfully, Marco, I became very emotional watching it because I know the preparations that took place in order to prepare the Iraqi people to do things. Now, they had some problems in that very first elections. A lot of Sunni tribal members boycotted those elections because they felt they were going to be unfair. And then they realized after the election how the only way you can get the kind of leaders that you need are by voting. And in fact, I'll even tell you a story. When I went back to Iraq in 2007, I had a subordinate commander who said, hey, you got to come down to my area of operations and meet a guy who wants to transition from being an insurgent into going to school at the University of Baghdad and learning political science so he can someday be a representative of the Iraqi government. So I went down to this small village, met this guy. His name was Ahmed. I said, what made you decide to become involved in going back to school and being a politician? And he was a young guy. And he said to me, he lifted up his finger and he said, I learned that the power of the finger was greater than the power of the gun. And what he was talking about is, you recall, in Iraq during that period, voters would have to dip their finger into a bottle of ink to prove that they had voted and they had only voted once. And what he was saying is that power of a representative government displaced the fighting that they had seen so much of in Iraq. It was a highly emotional moment for me to see this young man saying that he wanted to be part of the solution as opposed to part of the problem. Right now, with our president saying the kinds of things he's saying now, it appears that he's trying to divide people and push more of the problems as opposed to the solutions upon the American society.
When people hear about leaders refusing to hand over power, most people don't think of the U.S., but now there's this doubt. So if the U.S. fails to have a peaceful transition of power, what message does that send to the rest of the globe?
Well, I'm an optimist in this regard, and I believe our institutions will weather this storm. And they will, in fact, hold up and ensure a peaceful transition of power.
What makes you so confident?
Well, because I think our other institutions, our courts, our states, they certainly couldn't stand up to the will of the people, just like we're seeing in Belarus today and what's happening in Minsk. Once the people realize that there's crookedness within government, they will react on a much larger scale than even we've seen lately.
What if President Trump loses and refuses to leave? What happens then?
There is this vision by many Americans about when is the military going to step in and escort him out. That is not the job of the military. That's what happens in a dictatorial regime or an authoritarian regime. We have processes. If the president refuses to leave the White House, there are both overt and covert ways to affect his departure. But I don't ever see a march of the military because they would then become a fourth arm of government. And that's contrary to our Constitution as well.
General, you've made your criticisms of Trump and your support for Joe Biden quite clear over time. And we hear this week from General H.R. McMaster, Trump's former national security advisor. He said this week that he will not become involved with politics because, quote, the military is apolitical and nonpartisan. What do you say to McMaster about that?
Well, I would say that under normal circumstances, that is absolutely true. And truthfully, Marco, I've been conflicted, as many of my colleagues have, about standing up. This isn't just partisan politics. This isn't standing up for a candidate. We have crossed the Rubicon into an area where we are standing up for our nation. This isn't about who gets elected. This is about the continuation of our body politic and a defense of who we are as a people. That's the difference between now and what has happened in the past. And truthfully, Marco, I relish the thought of getting back to the time when retirees and members of the military can say that they're nonpartisan. But in this case, it has nothing to do with partisan politics. It has to do with the defense of the Constitution.
General Mark Hertling, retired. He served in the U.S. Army for 37 years, most recently as commanding general of the U.S. Army Europe. Thank you very much for your time today and for explaining this.
Thank you, Marco. Appreciate it.